to keep from high, and I'm bound to keep on right. I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let them catch me, no, not gonna let them catch the midnight rider. On the Fan, McMonagle here with you on our 5-hour midnight ride as I take you all the way to 5 a.m. in the warm-up show on this now Wednesday morning, 888-808-1019. Taking your phone calls on that number till then. We got Fleegelman back in the house. Manny hanging out for another minute. And we'll start with the Knicks. I know, listen, it's the World Series week. Don't get me wrong. We're going to get to the World Series. But we got to start with the opening of the Knicks season as we look for the Yankees. After the Liberty now, it's, you know, I don't know if you want to call it the end of the championship drought or not. Obviously, they just brought a championship and they will have a parade. But as we talked about the teams that had chances to win the championship, the optimism from the New York Yankees, what became of the New York Mets, the optimism that we had, believe it or not, for the New York Jets. And clearly, the optimism for the New York Knicks. And they opened their season with an absolute dud against the Boston Celtics. Now, I talked about this the other day that, you know, it's going to take time, right? Whenever you break up a team, they've added two key pieces in Bridges and Towns. And Bridges, I mean, he's his start to this game is going to be a focal point of this conversation. Around a lot of Knicks fans, he didn't look comfortable. The shot looked unfluid, for lack of a better term. It was kind of ugly at times. He found it a little bit in the second half. But I mean, ultimately, this game was a statement. And you were hoping the Knicks could be the one to make a statement. Because right now, the Knicks are perceived as Philadelphia has obviously improved, but they've got the injuries even now to start the season. Embiid's not going to start the season for opening night. And the Knicks were here to make a statement that they are the second best team behind the defending champion Boston Celtics, that they are a team that's going to compete for a championship, that they are a threat inside this Eastern Conference. And for one night, on the night the Boston Celtics got their rings and the night they celebrated their championship opening night of this season, the Knicks did nothing to make you feel like any of the statements I just made half a second ago are accurate. Because the Boston Celtics just absolutely came out and ran wild all over them and shot an ungodly percentage from the three-point line, hitting 29 three-pointers, tying the record. I believe they broke the record for most three-pointers in a half. And they end up shooting a three-point percentage of 47.5. But that's because the last 4 minutes of the game were strictly just throw up threes and try to break the record. That's how this game ended. It ended with the Knicks in embarrassing fashion as the Celtics, for no good reason, the game is decided. They're just throwing up threes to try and break a record. That's the kind of evening it was in Boston for the New York Knicks. And as, again, it's one game. I don't think it's any reason to get overly concerned. And you thought maybe this Knicks team, again, trying to gel here with new players. They've, you know, that core that was so good for them down the stretch that really felt like only injuries stopped them from being the team we hoped they could be and challenging the Boston Celtics. It was going to take time with this new starting lineup. It's going to take time for Towns to figure out his game. It's going to take time for Bridges coming over here, changing teams in this city, adding the pressure of being a Knick, joining his friends from the, now it's only the Villanova 3. But what does bother me a little bit and what scares me a little bit is the idea that this team is supposed to be one of their strengths with Bridges, with Anunoby, even Josh Hart to an extent, is the perimeter defense. And listen, everything that went in the air in the first half went through the hoop. I get it. Sometimes there are just nights where you hit everything. And the Boston Celtics, whether it was Tatum, who's 8-for-11 from behind the arc, whether it's Horford 3-for-5, Holiday 4-for-6, Brown 5 for 9. I mean, everything that went up came back down. So I understand that. But if you are going to compete with this Boston team, we talk about size, even though Porzingis clearly wasn't playing in this game. And you've got to control them at the three-point line, and you have to have some perimeter defense, and you feel like that's a strength of this Knicks team. With Anunoby, since he came here last January, what his defense brings, he's one of the best, if not the best, perimeter defender in the NBA. Bridges is one of the more, you know, motor, hustle, defensive guys in the NBA. This is supposed to be a strength of this team. And for one night, the Boston Celtics reminded everybody who is the Eastern Conference champion, who is the NBA champion, and who is the team to beat in the East, because they came out and absolutely dominated the first half of this basketball game, and the second half didn't even matter. And so the Knicks had a statement on this opening night to start a season that, without question, is the most anticipated, hyped up, and, you know, thought of actually competing for a championship. You could argue this is the most talented Knicks team that has hit the floor. Going back to the mid-90s teams, better than 99. Like, that's how, that was in, you know, short season, eight seed, ended up making it to the NBA Finals. We all love Sprewell. We all love Camby. We all love Allen Houston. I mean, right now, when you talk about the offensive prowess of what they could put on the floor, with Brunson, Towns, Bridges, Anunoby, this is as talented a Knicks team as we've seen forever. And this is a team that's supposed to compete with a championship and a team that's supposed to compete with the Boston Celtics. And I understand getting your feet wet. And I understand this coach, this team, it's going to take some time. I still feel like they're a very good team. I still feel like we will find them at the end of the year, one of the top teams, if not the top team, right behind the Boston Celtics, who are clearly unbelievably talented. But for one night, they had an opportunity to come out, start this season, and stare the Boston Celtics right in the face and make a statement to Boston that we are here, we are your competition, forget Philadelphia, forget Cleveland, forget the Pacers, forget everybody else. The New York Knicks are here, and we are the team you are going to have to beat if you want to get back to an NBA Finals. If you want to go back-to-back NBA champions, this is the team you are going to have to contend with all year long. And it was a joke 10 minutes in. It's a frustrating, disappointing, kind of embarrassing evening for the New York Knicks to start their season. And to allow that many three-pointers, and to have the game come down to literally just shooting practice at the end of the game, trying to break some record. I mean, they didn't care. They didn't care about trying to beat the Knicks. They didn't care about making a statement to the Knicks. They didn't care about saying, hey, we're the best in the East. We're going to still run our offense. We're going to show you the entire game that we're better than you. It came down to, we don't care about the Knicks. We want this dopey record. We're going to put up as many threes as we can and have a fun night. We'll get our rings. We'll hit more three-pointers than anybody. We'll blow the Knicks out by 30 points. No big deal. This is what we do in Boston. One game. Nothing to get too excited about. Nothing to get too worried about. Bridges did not play well in this game. The shot had a bit of a hitch in it. I don't think if you remember last year, he went through a stretch of about, 2.5-3 weeks with the Nets where he was just awful offensively. This is his first game with the New York Knicks in Boston, going up against the defending NBA champions, you know, trying to make a statement, a lot of pressure on this game to open the season. Blah, he's, you know, him coming here, DiVincenzo leaving, that kind of thing that happened. A brand new kind of starting five here, trying to gel together, a little bit of pressure on him to step up and be an offensive threat here. And he had a miserable start to his Knicks career in the first half of this game, no doubt. And it's something to watch. And again, he is a bit of a streaky offensive player. He did go through a real downturn in the middle of the season last year where he couldn't find the bottom of the net. And the shot looked ugly to start this game. But ultimately, it's not so much that they lost. It's not so much that this team wasn't completely gelled first game out with this new starting five. It was that the Boston Celtics came out without Porzingis, getting their rings, chucking up threes, hitting everything, going right at what we thought was going to be one of the better aspects of this team, the perimeter defense. And by the end of it, it's, hey, let's just throw up every three we can and hope to break some dopey record. And it just felt like the season has started now, and the Knicks have done themselves a disservice, if anything, in the narrative of, hey, we are the team to compete with you. We are the team that's going to be the thorn in your side. We are the team you're going to be looking at in the standings come the end of the season and trying to make sure you capture the one seed. And instead, it turned into a damn joke. Not a great night for the New York Knicks. Not the opening of the season we expected from a team that we expect to contend for an NBA championship. Just not the night. 888-808-1019. We could talk about it. We'll get to the World Series, obviously. And, of course, I mean, we just found out the tragic news of the passing of Fernando Valenzuela at age 63. It literally just happened as I was walking in. The Dodgers announced it. I mean, Fernando Valenzuela and Fernando Mania was, you know, took this country by storm and took baseball by storm in 1981, the last time the Yankees and the Dodgers played in the World Series. I mean, this is right upon the eve of the World Series. Just heartbreaking news for a guy who of Mexican descent was a legend to the Mexican people, who took baseball by storm, pitching his going 8-0 to start his career in 1981 with a .5 ERA, winning the Rookie of the Year and the Cy Young that year, helping be part of the Dodger team that beat the Yankees after losing to them in 77 and 78, and just add, you know, one more thing to this World Series that has a million different angles to it and a million different storylines. And now, obviously, this is going to be something that's, you know, unfortunately is going to be a sad story around the World Series. I'm sure the Dodgers are going to honor him. I'm sure they're going to honor him on the TV broadcast, rightfully so. And just one of the great stories, really, in Dodger history, one of the more fun stories, one of the stories of guys just, you know, Doc Gooden kind of taking the league by storm in 84, Fernando Valenzuela taking these young players that come up and take the league by storm. And, you know, as Ohtani and Judge and the superstars are out in this series, Betts and Soto and Freeman and Stanton, to lose one of the real heroes of the Dodgers' history. You know, someone who was a part of the last time that these two teams played in the World Series and was such a key, integral part of that team. It's just a really sad story on the eve of what hopes to be and promises to be just one of the bigger World Series we've ever seen. I mean, right now, the buzz for this game to start on Friday night, this series, Dodgers-Yankees. I mean, there are people out there who think it's bad for baseball. They're crazy. We can get into that a little bit, 888-808-1019, and the idea that the two teams with the highest payrolls, and, you know, like, this happens all the time. Last year was Texas and Arizona. Like, what? What? I mean, this doesn't happen that much, that both one seeds, that these two high payrolls. I think it's been a handful of years since the highest payroll won. I think it was the Boston Red Sox in 2018 was the last time the highest payroll in baseball actually won the World Series. Baseball has been had as much parity in its champion as any sport, as we watch, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs win every single year. As we've seen the dynasties that continue to happen in the NBA, Golden State, you know, though the Celtics sure look like a team that can go back-to-back. You know, LeBron James in the NBA Finals, whatever team he's on, every single year. The parity inside baseball has been as good as any sport. And so to get this series that everybody is going to be excited about, this this World Series that is going to captivate both coasts, big markets, superstars, Hollywood, New York City. I mean, as we get ready for Friday, it is going to be as much a spectacle as this sport has had in a long time. And unfortunately, I don't know the circumstances around it. I don't know how he was feeling. I don't know the health of Fernando Valenzuela, but it certainly could have been someone who could have been there, been a part of the festivities, you know, been celebrated as a key member of the team. The last time these two teams played in the World Series, one of many, the most prolific matchup in the sport's history. And it's just a sad story on the eve of what promises to be an incredible World Series. We'll get more into the World Series. There's a lot of storylines, some fun quotes. Nestor Cortez saying one of the best quotes I've heard in a long time. I am pumped for Nestor Ohtani. I'll tell you that right now. I am pumped for the moment where Nestor is on the mound, you know, giving him the delay, holding his leg up in the air for 3-4 seconds before he throws the pitch. I am ready for it. I am ready for this World Series. I am pumped. And if only the Knicks were ready for the season. 888-808-1019. We'll take your calls next right here on The Fan. We'll get to the football as well. Of course, Rogers spoke on Pat McAfee, so I'm sure something interesting was said there. There's always a conversation around the Giants and Daniel Jones as they prepare for another primetime game with the primetime QB.